Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Complete the biggest championship comeback in NCAA championship history. There you go. Kansas wins 72-69 over the North Carolina Tar Heels, and we're down 15 at the half, 40-25. Perhaps one of the worst halves I've seen Kansas play, and I've seen half a dozen or so. A couple of those in the tournament, obviously, and maybe a few in the regular season. But they found their way in the second. I had a basketball coach in high school that said that, and I was this always stood out to me. Two very important minutes are the last 2 minutes of a half and the first 2 minutes of a half. And again, in basketball, in high school, it was last 2 minutes of the second, first 2 minutes of the third, in this case, of the half. UNC, in that second half, you could tell. They were up 15. They saw Bill Self's adjusted Jayhawks coming out of that locker room and couldn't take it. I mean, what was there? There's like a travel before, a step out of bounds, bad shots. I had a feeling right there all the momentum was gone. And that was still when Kansas was down like 15, then 12, and kind of back to 11, 13. Jayhawks find a way to get it done. And how about David? I think David McCormick was the key player in this game. Now, obviously, I mean, he had just one of those games. 15 points, 10 boards. And Bacot, I mean, he goes out late in the game with that ankle injury, but he was dominating in the first half, and they slowed him down big time in the second. He went to the free throw line 13 times, and messes up his ankle, and I don't know if that video is true or not of the board coming up when he, like, twists his ankle again. He twisted him like crazy last night. But, you know, I kind of still felt like Kansas had the game, and then he goes down, and you're thinking, okay, that's it. And then what do they do? As soon as he goes down, they give the ball to McCormick, and he gets a quick two. Kansas wins. Bill Self gets championship number two for him. I believe that's four total for the Jayhawks. So congratulations to Kansas, and it's over. We got our winners and everything. I know our guy, Matt, I just looked at yesterday, or this morning. Matt won. Congratulations, Matt. You won $500. 500 bucks. Courtesy of PDC Energy for this year's whole show bracket challenge. Thank you guys for playing. It was a lot of fun. Had a blast with you guys. I'm loving college basketball these days. I mean, it's been so much fun these last few years, especially mainly because of local ties. You know, getting to see CSU go as far as they did. Being a part of March Madness was fun. UNC got really close. The UNC Bears, that is. And the Buffs actually got pretty close, too. Wyoming got to the play-in game or first four. So that was cool. And Mountain West Conference, I'm a big fan of. So this year, I had a lot of fun watching college basketball. And, you know, I was listening to Tanner again. I go at him all the time now because I just hear him go at me. So I gotta get revenge. You know, he's talking about not a lot of marquee moments. I mean, last night had another marquee moment. You're down 15 at the half and you make, what was it, the largest comeback in championship history, right? So hell of a thing. Hell of a game overall. I had fun watching it. I had fun watching a lot of games. Were there some snooze fests? Were there some games that weren't as great? Sure. But overall, I thought it was fun. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Here's on tap today as far as guests. We're going to have Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. I was out there at practice this morning before the wind picked up. Still a little windy, and then sprinkles started coming in. I got out of there at 8. I got there at 7. You know me. I'm an early riser. I get up very early. I get up at 4 a.m. every single weekday. So for me, when they said practices are 7, I'm like, bam! I have been up for 3 hours already. So I'm going to head out there and watch practice, and it's fun, man. It's a blast. And they're just throwing it all over the place. And some people have asked me, well, Brady, you keep saying they're throwing it. Most teams, and Coach Jay Norvell even said this, he's like, they're going to throw more in spring ball than most teams will throw in practice all season. Because they are going to perfect what they do. Matt Mummy, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback's coach and associate head coach, told us, they don't have a playbook. They don't actually have like a playbook that they give. You can take notes and everything, but they don't have a playbook. It's routes, knowing your routes, knowing your other guy's routes, and throwing the football. I mean, it is an air raid. We don't have a lot of crazy, nifty. Listen, I'm just kind of saying, I don't know about their blocking scheme and everything, but if you don't have a playbook, it's not saying that you don't have, you know, a plethora of football plays that you can run. But it does mean it kind of simplifies a bit. Hey, we know what we do, and we're just going to do it better than you. We're going to send receivers out on routes. They're going to be faster than you. We've got enough of them. Good luck trying to cover them. I was watching the defense. So full pads today, by the way. I was watching the defense go up against these receivers. And, Jaden, you tell me, good sign or bad sign? The receivers won every time. Every single, yeah, thumbs up. Is it good? That means the defense is going to get burned. Or does that mean this offense is so good that it's going to make the defense look bad, but maybe in that process, the defense gets better as they go? That was fun. It was getting windier than hell now, man. I mean, it's crazy out there. So I went right before all the windy madness started up. Posted a few pictures on my Twitter. Go follow me. Give me a follow at Whole Show. Pretty easy to find my Twitter account and everything. I also put up my way too early AFC playoff teams in 2022. I'm going to talk about that later. I got some surprises in there. I got two teams that everybody thinks should be in. Three teams. And I've got them out. And it's just AFC. I'm not doing NFC yet. That's going to be AFC's like, who do you leave out? NFC's like, who do you get in? Because I think the NFC's what? Three strong? Three really strong? And then AFC's pretty much like, I could make a case that three teams that should be playoff teams won't be just because you can't get enough in. And the Broncos are going to be taking up a spot. They're a playoff team. No doubt. Just watch. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Let's get to the big story of the day, shall we? Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. I'm not a big golf guy, but this is still pretty big news. Tiger Woods says as of right now, he plans to play in the Masters, according to ESPN. 14 months after Tiger Woods nearly lost his right leg in a serious car crash, he said that as of now, he plans to play in this week's Masters at Augusta National Golf Club. How about that? I mean, when this first happened, when he got in the accident, the car crash, he made it sound like he wasn't coming back. He said, as of right now, I feel like I'm going to play. As of right now. I'm going to play 9 more holes Wednesday. My recovery has been good. I've been very excited about how I've recovered each and every day, and that's been the challenge. He played a practice round last week with his son, Charlie, and one of his best friends, Justin Thomas. Woods later announced he was coming to Augusta National to continue practicing and that his decision to play would be a game-time decision. He played the second 9 holes during a practice round Sunday and then the first 9 Monday. He practiced again Tuesday morning before inclement weather closed the course. I mean, everybody's rooting for this guy to get back. And golf has grown over the years, and I'm going to admit that. I don't follow pro golf, really. But I know enough to kind of be dangerous, I suppose, of the golfers. But wouldn't you agree, Jane? You like golf. You like golf. You like watching golf. You like playing golf. There's been some big names in the golf world now, the Jordan Spieths of the world. You know, the other guys. Come on, was it Rory? Give me some other names. Billy, Jack, Bubba. Johnson, you could just say a lot of names and people will probably believe me.
I think you've hit them all, actually.
I think I did, actually. Yeah, so it kind of goes to show you. But all those names, isn't Tiger Woods still the most popular golfer of all time?
By far.
By far, right?
By far.
Because he changed the game. There's not the greatest golfer of all time. Maybe Jack gets that, but maybe, I don't know. I guess the case could be made, but Tiger changed the way we look at golf. I don't know why. He's very marketable, and it just doesn't feel as strong without him.
Well, I mean, he's the LeBron of our generation.
He's even bigger than that, though. He's bigger than Jordan.
Yeah.
Now, I think Jordan and Tom Brady are the GOATs of all time. But as far as a guy that just changes the sport, because before Jordan, it was Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. I mean, there were Will Chamberlain. They were great players, some of the greatest of all time. Many could make cases that any of those guys were the greatest over Jordan and LeBron and Kobe. You look at Tom Brady. Well, plenty of amazing quarterbacks well before Tom. And Jack was amazing, but not like the guy that can just grab the media. And Tiger Woods did that. He didn't just grow the game's popularity. He changed the outlook. He brought younger people and paying attention to it a lot more. Not sure exactly why or how it happened. He was just dominant. That was great. There's a lot of dominant players in sports that don't have the appeal that Tiger Woods had.
I think he definitely is in contention for one of the most, if not the most, influential athlete ever.
I think you're probably right. And to be honest, here's something to chew on. Like the Williams sisters, like they're up there because here's the deal. Name 5 awesome women tennis players.
I can't.
You can't. Name 10 great golfers.
I probably couldn't.
Probably couldn't. I couldn't either. Don't worry.
That really stretched
name
my brain.
Name 10 great NFL players. You could do that in your sleep. I mean, you could do that based on the Broncos franchise alone. If you just wanted to name 10 great players, you could go John Elway, Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis, Steve Atwater, Vaughn Miller, Peyton Manning, Champ Bailey, John Lynch, Brian Dawkins. Am I at 10 yet? You know what I'm saying? How easy is it to get to 10? Same with the NBA. Now, so it is harder for a Tom Brady, LeBron James, and all that to become larger than life in their sport because the competition is there. For Tiger and for the Williams sisters, like those kind of athletes, it is kind of it's. I'm not going to say easier, perhaps harder and easier in the same breath. They have to be so good to get the attention, but at the same time, they can. If you can be so good, you can separate easily. Tom Brady's the GOAT, but is the separation that far from the John Elways and the Joe Montanas of the world and the Patrick Mahomes of the world? Probably not.
In my opinion, it's a pretty big step, but like I see where you're going. It's a lot. It's harder to get the recognition, but it's easier to. It's less televised. I mean, there's not as much publicity,
right?
So when you are that good and you're the only name that's a household name in that sport, uh-huh. I mean, it becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, Dixon says media back when Jack played was a lot different. You mean like yesterday? Jack still plays. I mean, he's still going. He's still playing. Jack might have been more popular if social media was what it was. like for Jack, like it has been for Tiger. Sure, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. That's not all of it. Something about Tiger moves the needle. No doubt about it. 20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. All right, we got our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. The first over-under, I'm sure this is going to change after the draft and stuff, but the first over or under for the Broncos win total next season is 10. I think it was 9 last year, wasn't it? Tell me what you think. Over, under, or push? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. 20 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's look at that. Let's look at the Broncos schedule. And you know, it's way too early because we're not even through the draft yet. There's still some other things to consider. But right now, we got our first look at it. You know, Zach Stevens gave us that information yesterday. So let's go into it. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want The Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Sorry, I'm going to tweet that out, Jades. You just told me something that I thought odd. You're a young man. You are 18 years old. Is that right? 18 or 19? Are you 18? You're okay. Yeah, sorry, I didn't. Okay, tell me what you told me during break, though. You kind of forgot something. Something slipped your mind. You got something coming up, though.
Yeah, so basically, I've been 18 for probably 4 months now, but... Yeah. I found out a month ago, and I just remembered.
And you've been...
I've been summoned for jury duty, so...
Now, what's the difference? Okay, like, does that mean you've been chosen?
So I have to call on the 8th to know whether or not I've been, like, actually selected. And then they tell me whether or not I've been selected, and then I have to go on the 11th.
Okay, so I've been summoned, then. I was wrong. I've been summoned, but I've never been selected? Is that right? Is that how we say it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think I get summoned, and then I get, like, interviewed for the potential to be on the jury.
See, I've never made it that far. I've gotten the letter, and it says you could be going to jury duty or whatever the hell it says. And then it gives you the site to go look up, and then you go look it up to see that date, and it shows kind of – I don't even remember. It's like a check mark or whatever. And if your number's not on the list, you didn't get. So I never got that far. I just got the letter. Never got that far.
Yeah, my dad's 50, and he's got it twice in his life. But lucky me, I'm already halfway
there.
Wouldn't
that be something if you get it at 18? And I'm 35, and I've never been. My wife likes it. She's been, I think she's had it once, and she's like, I enjoyed it. Who enjoys that? I've heard some people that enjoy it, because it's this unique experience. It's not your everyday experience, and you're not in trouble, so... You know, the pressure's not on you. You got to kind of see how it all... I think I'd be bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I think it's a big inconvenience. Takes me out of my routine. But, you know, I think it'd be cool to experience it one time.
You're supposed to get paid for it, though, right? You get paid from your company to, like, take off. Like, they don't. It's not a sick day or something. So you would still get paid for your... Jades.
Well, thanks,
how
Brady.
About that? Well, I mean, I don't make the rules. I wish I could change that. all right. So First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Well, good luck with that. We can't talk about that. You might be able to get out of it because you could say you're on a radio show and you have a loud mouth and you could spill the beans on the air. Now, you can't. You cannot do that, but... They might not risk it, so they might say, no, dude, you stay away.
There's my alibi right there.
Just say you work for a radio station and you're occasionally on the air.
Yeah.
And they would go, ooh, just in case, we better not chance that. I don't know. Maybe that's something for Tanner's Ask a Lawyer segment he has on Thursday.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Like, are media members ideally not chosen for jury duty? It's interesting. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. What do you got here? Over under 10 wins for the Broncos. We got all the gambling sites have come out, and most of them kind of agree. They're setting the bar at 10. Over or under? Now, I looked earlier, Jades, and it was way over. The votes were way over. But it's changed now. It was a two-way tie for over, under. Now it's a three-way tie for over, under, or push.
I'm push. But if I had to choose over, under, I would probably...
Oh, they're going to win over 10, right?
I would probably go with under.
No.
I only think that because... I think you guys, I mean, it's what you and Tanner have been saying. They're just...
Oh, they're going to win the AFC West.
No, but the AFC West is just going to tear each other apart.
But
that's the
Russell
problem.
Russell Wilson, Jades. Russell Wilson. That's it.
So he's the second best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, but Patrick Mahomes just lost his best friend. He lost his sidekick. Imagine
he might be getting DK.
Yeah, that would... Is that real, by the way? Because DK tweeted it out today and said that this is news to me.
Then if it's news to him,
but he could be fanning some flames just by doing that too. All right, 31 minutes after the, we'll talk about that in a moment. Wrong button. Putting too much, you're just thinking about jury duty, man, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go back there. We'll talk to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com coming up next. 31 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Okay, if you're going to correct my playoff predictions, my AFC playoff predictions, do me one favor. You can't say the San Diego Chargers are getting in. You've already lost. You got it. It's details, Jades. If you go to jury duty, you're going to learn this. It's all about the details. Remember, folks, it's the Los Angeles Chargers. Not San Diego. You've already lost. There is no such thing as the San Diego Chargers. Mike Brohard joining me from CSURams.com. Mike, my friend, am I wrong? I mean, I gotta be tough on these people. They think they can get away with just calling the Chargers the San Diego Chargers. It's absurd.
You can't be casual about these kind of things.
Right. I mean, we're talking predictions for playoffs. These are all meaningful. Everything that I say and predict is very meaningful, Mike. We can't screw around.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't.
Right. It's the details, my man. Hey, I don't know if I can ask this, but I'm going to ask. Jaden is 18, and he has been summoned. He's going to find out what the next step is for jury duty, but I've never actually been on jury duty before. Have you?
Okay. I got funny stories about this.
Good.
Yes, I got a jury summons once, and I went in, and I was part of the alternate pool, so never got selected. The funny thing was my wife back in the day, one time was put on a grand jury in Northern Colorado. And she said, I can't talk to you about it ever. And I said, I understand this. That's fine. Then you got to remember, this is back at the time I'm covering CSU football as a reporter for the Loveland Reporter Herald. The grand jury she was selected on all of a sudden came across the ESPN ticker and said, three players from CSU football had been indicted in a bank fraud scheme.
What?
And so I called her at work and I said, so you guys indicted three players? And she goes, no, we didn't. She goes, wait a minute, you can't ask me that. And how do you know about that? And I said, well, it just came across ESPN and there's only one grand jury going on right now. So I'm pretty much sure that you're part of it. And she goes, we're not talking about this. So, of course, my role as a reporter, I had to call the Fort Collins District Attorney's Office, and I said, this is Mike Brohard. And the secretary knew Brohard because my wife was on the grand jury list, sent me into the DA, and the DA goes, you're not Debbie. And I said, no, I'm not. And he goes, we might have an issue here. Can you please have your cops reporter at the time at the Reporter Herald, please do the story. And I said, sure. And then the next day when Deb went in to close out her stuff for jury duty, he goes, I guess we should have asked you on the stand what your husband does for a living. So for like 8 months, she sat through this. And it was dealing with the football team that I covered.
Yes, yes.
And we never talked about it. We never once did until the day I saw it on the ESPN ticker. And then afterwards, she told me everything that went on. And, of course, that day I went out to practice, and Sonny Lubick was a coach at the time. And Sonny Lubick told us everything that had gone on. The four reporters that were there at the time, and it was me and Tony Pfeiffer and Randy Holtz and Natalie Meisler. And he just went through great detail, more so than the district attorney's office would have wished he would have, and just laid it all out for us.
That is incredible, man. Well, that answers my question, too. Well, I guess it answers it, because I was joking with Jaden, and I said, tell him you work at a radio station. Maybe that'll get you out of there.
I'm telling you, Jaden, if you tell them that you work for a news gathering organization, they will probably veto you faster than they can get you in the door.
Dude, there you go. So if you don't want to go, as long as you work here, so play your cards right, you can get out of jury duty.
Just tell them you're part of the trusty news organization.
That is great. Thank you for sharing. How crazy is that? That's dedication, by the way, for her to not say anything to you. And again, I know you can't, but it's your husband. But still, she knows what you do.
Yeah, she knew it was a team I was dealing with. And honestly, it was like, I was kind of curious because I've always wanted to be on a jury. I am one of those weirdos that has always wanted to be on a jury. I just feel like it's my civic duty and I would like to go through it once. But I always knew that working in a newspaper, there was no way on God's green earth they were going to ever let me sit on a jury. So I don't know. Maybe now that I work at CSU, maybe they'll let me do it. But,
yeah.
No, I was curious what she was doing, but I respected what she was going through. So I never asked, and never once there was never any inkling of what was going on around the football program. I mean, nobody missed time. You know, the key players that were involved, and there was really only – I would say one really key player on the football roster that was involved with this. And they weren't found guilty. They weren't, anything like that. I don't even think they got charges.
Wow.
But I just respect your privacy. I figured it was probably some kind of, something that I didn't really care about. Obviously, it was something that would have been.
It was your job. Great.
I didn't know it was going to greatly affect a team that I covered.
Oh, my goodness. Dude, that is crazy. That is a perfect example of what we were talking about, too. So thank you for sharing that, my man. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. A little windy out there today, Mike. When I got out there to practice this morning, it wasn't that bad yet, but they chose to practice inside Canvas today. Was that because of the wind, or was that just random? They just decided, let's move into the stadium.
I think they decided to move into the stadium just because they liked practicing in there. They're not going to be the first coaching staff that did enjoy doing that. Secondly, I don't know, were you still there by the time I got there? It was like the last hour of practice for the ones and threes. It was a windy, driving, cold wind.
Yeah, I left at like 8. It was windy, and you were starting to feel some sprinkles, but nothing crazy.
I showed up at 7:50, and it was some sprinkles. But by, I'm going to say 8:20, it was just a driving. I mean, people out there were soaked.
Mm.
But here's the thing: you're going to play in those conditions, so you might as well learn to practice in them. And I think that's kind of the approach you take.
I think that's a great point. You're going to play in crazy weather. Whether it's windy, rainy, snowy, whatever, they're typically not going to call those games, especially when it comes to football. So they got to get used to it. Again, just out there, I'm loving it. There's just so many passes, so little time. I mean, just three quarterbacks out there throwing it left and right. These receivers are going on. I mean, there's great picture opportunities all practice, Mike, because receivers are going out all the time. However, I loved your story talking more about the running back side of things, because I'm getting a lot of questions. I know you are. People are like, okay, well, what's the running back situation going to look like in an air raid CSU offense?
Yeah, I'm glad you've already read it.
Wow. I mean, yes, sir.
You're really like Johnny on the spot. I think I posted that thing at about, 10:40?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a great curiosity for me. So, you know, like the first time I got to talk to Matt and Jay, it's like, you know, we have no problem trying to find quarterbacks, wide receivers in this. Because, yeah, you tell any high school quarterback, come here, you're going to throw it 50 times, their eyes are going to light up. A receiver thinking they're going to catch 50-some passes a game or a season, yeah, their eyes are going to light up. Okay, what do you do with a running back? Who a lot of these guys in high school are used to being the centerpiece of an offense. They're getting 20 carries a game. They're rushing for 300 yards if you're Kyle Bell back in the days with Will Central. So what's the appeal? Well, you're an all-around back. If you think about it, and like we did, I thought it was, you know, like Avery Morrow, really enjoyed talking with him. You know, he told me, you know, he looks at like a Deebo Samuels and how they use him with the 49ers. And that's what he kind of gets to do. And you talk to Ajon Vivens, and it's like, I get to be a complete back. You know, he came here from Mullen. He was initially a slot receiver. We moved him, you know, they moved him to running back. So he's got that skill set to where he can catch a ball. So I just looked at it. You know, you like Tua last year for Nevada. Yeah, he had less carries than did David Bailey, but he had three times as many receptions. He actually had a 1,000-yard season, and David Bailey did not. So there are touches and opportunities. And if you're a back that's got some elusiveness to him, wouldn't you like to catch a ball in space?
Yeah, no doubt.
You don't have to break through a line and create your own hole. You've already got the ball in space. And if you make a guy miss, you got a big game. So the running backs told me there's a lot that they love about this offense. And then, of course, I think it's going to make them more adept at being, you know, you always hear coaches talk about pass pro. They really have to be on their P's and Q's in this offense because there are times they're going to be in the backfield where they've got to do it and times that they're not required to do it and they'll go out on routes and it's reading when those times are for them. So I think there's a lot of use for a running back in this offensive system.
We're talking to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. What a difference. What a difference this team is going to be. We've talked about it a lot on the offensive side for sure. Just high flying, air raid, four air raid, and as you put together, you know, the running back situation gonna be completely different as well. And I think that's what's going to be so exciting. A question I had for you, we got to chatting about it today with Mr. Neves and Mr. Lytle out there, and we were saying, okay, I think no matter what, okay, let's see if the defense is okay maybe this year. I don't know how good they're going to be, but fans are going to be entertained, right? And you know, some of the other guys standing there are like, yeah, but sometimes they got frustrated with Coach Bobo's regime where, okay, we love the offense. It's high-flying, but maybe the attention wasn't there to the defensive side. Mike, is there any concern that we're going to, I mean, maybe even a better offense, but what are your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball? Again, spring ball, we only know so much at this stage, but do you have any kind of fear in the back of your mind that the defense is going to be kind of a second fiddle?
I don't have any fear. No. Okay, so no. No on that right away. Freddie Banks does not come from, you know, his background at North Dakota State and think he's going to take a job where defense is going to be a secondary type of thing. Anybody that's spent any time in North Dakota, and I did for a spell, they take their football seriously, the defense especially, and it's a really good system. Now, I'm curious. I'm not concerned yet. One, I don't put a whole lot of stock in the spring ball. This is teaching. This is going to class. There's no final yet. Finals don't come until September, okay? So they've got this spring to kind of learn the nuances of it, this summer to work on it, and fall camp to really get it down pat. Okay, now, the questions you're going to have where the curiosity comes is, do they have the type of athletes in place that they want? Well, you want to play press coverage, so you'll notice really not many of the cornerbacks that were here last year are still here. They want bigger physical guys that are going to play press and play man. That's what they want to do. So that change has got to take place. You're looking at basically a 4-4-2-5. They're going to play nickel. Is going to be their base pretty much. So it's what type of linebackers do they want? You know, are they more athletic or are they bigger? You know, do they have those bodies in place that they want in the positions they want them? Do you have a lineman that can, you know, pass rush? That's why I thought it was, that's why I really wanted to do a story on Mo Kamara. I mean, he's been a great pass rusher here
in spots for his three seasons, but they want him to be a run stopper, and can he do it? And they feel he's got all the tools. He's just never really been asked to do it in that role because he's played behind somebody. You know, you play behind a Scott Patchen, who was adept at doing both. You know, you're probably not going to get that many snaps because Scott didn't really like to share his position a whole lot. So, you know, I'm going to give it some time to see what the defense is going to do. But I've been around this program a long time. There was that stretch at the end of the Bobo era where they finally started playing some defense. We had a run of games where we were giving up less than 300 yards of total offense, which had not been done since the Sonny Lubick era. It has been a long time since CSU played really stingy, hard-nosed defense. Go back to the, you know, the Larry Kerr defenses when you had a Joey Porter, Sean Moran, you know, those guys patrolling, and that was the last time CSU really had a dominant defense. Now, you're going to get to the point. I think that's always the goal. You would like to have a defense that can be shut down and an offense that can be light up the scoreboard worthy, and that's when you start dominating a conference.
Well, Mike, like I loved your running back piece, and I look forward to some of those defensive pieces as well coming up. I'm with you. I'm a big Freddie Banks fan. We want to try to get him on the show soon. So if anybody can do it and say, hey, we're not second fiddle. I know we're talking for Air Raid, but we can carve out our little niche too. It might be that guy. Mike, appreciate you as always, and I hope for your sake personally now that you do get to serve on that jury someday, my friend.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, I don't even really care what it is. I mean, it's supposed to be kind of cool if you got in like a case that's like, you know, Criminal Minds.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be kind of neat. Though I guess that means I'm secretly saying there's a killer that I hope running around. And I don't. I really don't. But that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't want a boring case, but, you know, I'd like one.
Yeah. Well,
I think, I don't know. I just think it'd be cool. And I know I am in the vast minority in this way.
I wish I could go there with you. My wife's the same way, though. She's like, oh, I loved it when I did it. It was a blast. Mike, my friend, we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I like what he said. I had to ask. Are you worried about a defense being second fiddle to all this Fort Air Raid, throwing the ball around? You got 9,000 quarterbacks throwing to 20,000 wide receivers out there, it feels like. And I love it. But I'm a defensive guy, too, at heart, Jaden. And I want to see Freddie Banks do something cool. I'm going to get him on the show soon. All right, we'll take a break here. Jades is looking at me. He's tapping the wrist, man. He's saying, hey, we got to take a break. 12:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK, live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Katie Wingy will be joining me in the second hour. Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. She's done a phenomenal job this year and all of their coverage at Altitude, and I got work to do still. Tonight, the Nuggets going up against the Spurs, and I'll break into this more in the second hour. Our boy Nick Wright is at it again, dropping some ridiculously stupid points about the Joker and his MVP status. So we're going to talk about that in the second hour. I'll break into the NBA standings. Also, the poll question of the day. Broncos over under 10. Give me that over. We'll be right back.